during the church year. Here's the quick primer edition. A man by the name of Arius in the 3rd century said Jesus wasn't God. Athanasius and his group said, yes, huh? And so in the year 325, the Athanasian Creed, or actually in the 4th century sometime, we're not sure when, the Athanasian Creed was adopted. Not necessarily Athanasius is the author, we don't know for sure, but since he was a big opponent of Arius, there you have it. The creed is a long one, as you might remember, so we're going to read it in 3 different parts today, and I always get questions about the last couple lines, which says, at the end of time, we're going to have to stand before God and give an account for our life, and if we've done good, we're going to go you know where, and if we've done not so good, uh-oh. Well, remember, they were being very upset about Jesus not being God, at least contending, and so they had some pretty strong language here. Remember, the ultimate good work that you've done has been done to you, and that's faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So don't let this creed detract you from that. Just a couple of service notes. We're going to be doing a little bit different things instead of, you know, not only the Athanasian Creed in place of the Nicene or the Apostles, but on page 3, if you'll look, after the Kyrie, we're going to be singing hymn number 947, which is another setting of the Gloria. So Carol, thank you, is going to give us a little introduction there, but if you put a marker on that page, that will be helpful. And other than that, I hope the service flows smoothly for you. Just a reminder, the music can all be found in Lutheran worship in front of you. We're going to begin with hymn number 905. We'll remain seated for the first 3 stanzas and then stand for stanza 4, the Trinitarian verse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Through his word, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Creation begins with the presence and activity of all three persons of the Trinity. Our lives as Christians begin in baptism, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We praise God as Trinity acting together to begin creation, to begin our Christian lives, and to begin our worship today. Despite the perfect creation by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we all have fallen into sin and failed to live as holy and perfect creatures. So we confess our sins to God, our Heavenly Father. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, yet sometimes we have failed to proclaim your majestic name in our communities. We have denied your glory and sought our own glory. We see your mighty works, wonders, and signs every day, but we often fail to find delight in them. Forgive us for the sake of Jesus. Lead us by your Spirit. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for your sins. Jesus Christ was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the chains of death. God has given all authority in heaven and on earth to Jesus, who is both Lord and Christ. He has sent the Holy Spirit, who has called, gathered, and kept you in the one true faith of your baptism. So now, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We praise the Holy Trinity for working together to accomplish our forgiveness and salvation. Amen, amen, amen. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be both Lord and Messiah for us. By your Holy Spirit, keep us in the one true faith, which professes the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity, through our Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen, amen, amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, beginning at the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And so it was, and it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the light from the night. And let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life. I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. God, when I in awesome wonder, I'm
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son
is neither made, nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus there is one Father, not
three fathers, one Son, but not three sons, one Holy Spirit, but not three spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. The New Testament reading is from Acts, beginning at the second chapter. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of our Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This time, I invite the children who wish to come forward for some good news. If you want someone older to come up with you, that's okay. It's a special day in the church year today. Does anybody remember what the name of it is? Trinity Sunday. Does anybody know what Trinity means? I have a picture of three in one. It's three circles, but it's really one circle, right? Because they're all interlocking. So it's a circle like you've never seen. And on the top, the picture of the hands, what do you think that's all about? Remember, we heard the lesson from Genesis chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2. God made the whole world with his hands and voice. So the first circle is God the Father. Then this other circle with the crown of thorns represents, you might remember, we could also have a cross here.
Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins. And then finally, the third circle, a dove, which represents what? The Holy Spirit, who's in our hearts, helping us believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and God made the whole world, everything's all right with us. I always like to sing a song that, because the Trinity's kind of complicated, so I like the priest song. It goes like this. God the Father's our creator, raise your hands. God the Son is our Savior, cross your arms. God the Spirit is the one by whom our faith's begun. Put your hands to your heart and say amen. Amen! When we sing it in preschool, they always like to sing the amen part. Let's sing it together again. Ready? Are you ready? Erna, are you ready? God the Father's our creator, raise your hands. God the Son is your Savior, cross your arms. God the Spirit is the one by whom our faith's begun. Put your hands to your heart and say amen. Amen. I have a Holy Spirit badge for each one of you. It has that picture I showed you. Have a great day and a great Trinity Sunday especially. Ellie, here you go. Have a good one. I guess we'll have to give Erna a badge for participation. Pass them around. I have a few left. Guess we should give you the big one, Erna. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, alleluia. Amen. On this Trinity Sunday, I want us, first of all, to consider not the Holy Trinity, but unholy trinities in our lives, just briefly. I found this, a man by the name of James Packer, a biblical scholar, has said there are basically three sets that he came up with of what we might call unholy trinities. And the first one is sex, shekels, and stomach. Sex, shekels, and stomach. I'm not going to elaborate, but he said, although these are three things, they constitute one God, and that is self. No matter what you call it, we're pretty self-centered, aren't we? None of us woke up this morning saying, oh, good, I get to be nice to David Graham today. Although I'll try to be. The second one is pleasure, possessions, and position. Pleasure, possessions, and position. And he has a Bible passage associated with that, 1 John 2, verse 16. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And then finally, football, firm, and family. Of course, here in this area of the country, we have to substitute baseball. We were all doing a little bit better when the Cardinals had their seventh game losing streak, and then they had to go win those two games. Guess why? Because guess who was at the game Friday night? Broke the winning streak. Or the Cubs, yeah, they're not doing the best this year either. Football, firm, and family. I'm just going to let them stand by themselves, because you know, we all have unholy trinities in our lives, even if we can't group them nice and neatly by letter. And so, on this festival of the Holy Trinity, we're thankful for a God who takes care of everything for us that we don't understand, that we don't do. I found some new things about the Holy Trinity that I want to share with you this morning. And I always like that because how many years have we talked about the Trinity? Can we actually learn anything new about it? I wanted to play with you this morning, not word association where I say a word, but metaphor association. I say Holy Trinity, you say apple. One thing, three parts, right? Clover, one thing, three parts, right? Water, one thing, three parts. Liquid, steam, ice. I was reading through and I thought, I found the egg as a symbol for the Holy Trinity, right? Shell, white part, yolk. And I was going to do that today, but it gets kind of messy. I told Julie, I said, I don't think I've heard of that before. She said, yes, you did. You did it once. Remember how messy it was? I said, okay, guess I won't do that this year then. But here are some things I hadn't seen about the Trinity. The first one is from the early church father, St. Augustine. I must have been sleeping during my early church fathers class at the seminary, or maybe the professor didn't say this. St. Augustine said, uses the human mind as an analogy for the Holy Trinity. We have the memory, the understanding, and the will. Three distinct powers, but it's still the same mind. St. Augustine also said this about the Trinity: whoever denies the Trinity is in danger of losing salvation. And then he followed that up with, whoever tries to understand the Trinity is in danger of losing his mind. And then I found this I hadn't seen before by another church father by the name of Tertullian. He says, God the Father is a deep root. God the Son is a shoot that breaks forth into the world. And God the Spirit is that which spreads beauty and fragrance. You gardeners will like that one. God as the shoot, root, Jesus as the shoot, and God the Holy Spirit as the beauty and fragrance. And then I hadn't run across this before either. A man was talking about the backwards Trinity. Anybody ever heard this? The backwards Trinity. We usually say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but this man says we should say Spirit, Son, and Father, because we believe it, the Holy Spirit makes it possible to believe and to recognize the good news of Jesus the Son who died for our sins, who in turn reveals to us the loving heart and mission of God the Father. You look almost as excited as I was to find out new things about the Trinity. And now you're going to be even more excited, I know, because I found a litany of the Trinity by John Donne. Some of you, especially you literary people, will recognize him by his, I think it's popular, ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. And he's written a litany, I like to call it a sonnet, on Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the Trinity. And it's very deep, so everyone put their head in their lap and close your eyes. No, you don't have to do that, but when I'm listening to something like this, I definitely have to close my eyes. It's really deep, and that's why I like it, because the Trinity is very mysterious, even though we've kind of simplified it in ways, or so we think. But it has some good ditties in it that you're not going to forget if you can get past the language. So first of all, the Father. And these are kind of a prayer, which we'll close the sermon with today. Father of heaven, and him by whom it and us for it and all else for us thou madest and governst ever. Here's the part that's a little bit more understandable. Come and recreate me, now grown ruinous. My heart is by dejection clay, and by self-murder red. From this red earth, O Father, purge away all vicious tinctures, that new fashion I may rise up from death before I'm dead. I especially like that last part. Anybody need to rise up from death before you're dead this morning? It's hard to get going in the morning. Okay, number two, the second part, the Son. O Son of God, who, seeing two things, sin and death, crept in, which were never made, by bearing one, triedst with what stings the other, could thine heritage invade. I told you it was complicated. And here's the part that's a little bit more understandable. Oh, be thou nailed unto my heart, and crucified again. Part not from it, though it from thee would part, but let it be by applying so thy pain drowned in thy blood and in thy passion slain. The Holy Ghost. O Holy Ghost, whose temple I am but of mud walls and condensed dust, and being sacrilegiously half wasted with youth's fires of pride and lust, must with new storms be weather-beat, double in my heart thy flame, which let devout sad tears intend, and let, though this glass lanthorn flesh do suffer main, fire, sacrifice, priest, altar be the same. And then to close on the Trinity, 3 in 1. O blessed, glorious Trinity, bones to philosophy, but milk to faith, which, as wise serpents diversely most slipperiness, yet most entanglings hath, as you distinguished, undistinct, by power, love, knowledge be, give me such a self-different instinct. Of these let all me elemented be, of power to love, to know you, unnumbered 3. O Holy Trinity, it's so complicated, it seems at times, but so simple. When your Holy Spirit invades our heart again, we thank you this day for the same. That Father who made us, that Son who saved us, that Spirit inspires us, is still alive and well in our hearts and in this world. Thank you for helping us to see it again and anew. Alleluia. Amen.
Unto thee be glory.
persons over all exalted. Glory we offer, praise thee and adore thee, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you preserve creation with continual care, yet have entrusted us to be stewards of creation. Let us make wise choices that reflect your love and care for all creatures. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our great physician. Bring healing and comfort to those who are suffering from mental illnesses, physical disabilities, stress, and every disease. Holy Spirit, you are our comforter. Be with those who mourn the deaths of loved ones. Heavenly Father, although all creation has fallen into sin, you still provide many moments of wonder and goodness. We praise and thank you today for all that you have given us. Lord Jesus Christ, you revealed the mystery of the Trinity as you sent your disciples to teach your word and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Support us as we share with others the story of salvation accomplished by our triune God. Holy Spirit, you are our counselor and comforter. Help us in a world full of division to bring unity and peace. Especially today, we are remembering the following in our prayers: John Baginski, who was hospitalized in Sparta, and Millie Carey, who is hospitalized in Chester. And also continuing to remember Alan Uteman. He was hoping to come home this weekend, but he's still at the hospital in St. Louis receiving care. And then finally, I received a message last night after worship to include in our prayers this morning Elizabeth Ebersol, the mother of Lynn Etheridge, who was hospitalized last night in Murfreesboro. Let us pray. O great physician, again we call upon you with confidence, asking for your mercy and grace for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering physically, confident that you have already given them the ultimate healing through the forgiveness of their sins. We pray that as they heal, you would continue to work in them physically, but most of all in their hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we entrust all things, knowing that you work together to deliver and defend us. Amen, amen, amen. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. With thankful hearts, we give you praise, gracious Father, for renewing and strengthening our faith by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ and of his resurrection. Strengthen us through faith in unity, that we may lead others to the peace and joy of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Messiah, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Alleluia. Amen. The grace of our Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the love of our Heavenly Father, and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, great Jehovah, three in one. Glory, glory, while eternal ages run. Glory be to him who loved us, washed us from each spot and stain. Glory be to him who bought us, made us kings with him to reign. Glory, glory to the Lamb that once was slain. Glory to the King of angels, glory to the Church's King. Glory to the King of nations, heaven and earth your praises bring. Glory, glory, glory to the glory sing. Glory, blessing.
the choir of angels sing.